I'm Savannah.
I'm Rachel.
And this is That's What She Said. Nine minutes into season two, episode four of The Office, titled The Fire, the fire alarm in the office building goes off and Michael Scott sprints out of the building and says the following to the camera.
A captain is always the first one on the ship and the last one off the ship. And this parking lot is our ship when our building is on fire. So I ran out into the ship and I've heard women and children first, but we do not employ children. We're not a sweatshop, thankfully. And women are equal in the workplace by law. So I let them out first. I have a lawsuit on my hands. Hey, welcome back to That's What She Said.
Howdy.
We're going to catch up a little bit on our week here, and then we'll dive into season two, episode four, The Fire.
The Fire.
So Savannah, how was your week, my dear?
It was good. I went to another concert. I went back to Charlotte with my friend Emily. We went and saw Kelsey Ballerini. She's a country artist.
Where was it?
In Charlotte, at the Spectrum Center. It's like a big indoor arena.
Okay.
So there was a lot of people there, but it was a really good show. We were fairly close to the stage. It was in like nosebleeds, but we were kind of on the side so we could like see down onto the stage and like see her coming through like the little trap door in the stage and like, you know, it was kind of cool. It was a good view. And she's a great performer and I like her music. So it was fun.
That sounds amazing. Yeah. Did you have anything bad happen this week or
anything? Any roasts? No, but I think I have a second Dundee. Charlie and I got our driveway paved. So we're living like the other half. What is the saying?
I don't know. The upper.
How the other half lives.
Yeah. You
know? Feeling fancy. We went from gravel to asphalt. So that'll Amazing. Be nice. Yeah.
It is really cool because I feel like every time you pull up to a house that has a freshly paved driveway, you're like, oh.
I know, right?
It changes the whole look.
Yeah, it definitely does. And every time I walk outside, like in the mornings, I'm like, oh yeah, I have a paved driveway now.
So fancy.
I know.
She's getting fancy, folks.
Yeah. What about you? How was your week?
My week went pretty well. My Dundee is that the birds are starting to come alive.
Yes.
Now that it's been like 60 degrees here this week. I'm surprised you didn't mention that.
That's true, because I've been shitting on the cold recently.
You've been really sad about the cold. Yeah, so it started to feel like spring.
Yeah.
And I saw I'm a little bit of a bird nerd. Shout out to Lauren.
Are you really?
Yes.
Do you like bird watch?
Yeah.
Do you like binoculars and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Not as much as my twin Lauren is like more
into it.
Bird nerd.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But so my whole family, I think we kind of like that stuff.
That's
and we'll
so
like
fun.
Identify. Yeah. And I saw a really big hawk this week.
Hawks are your thing,
special
too.
Special connection there. Yeah. Yes. So yeah, it's just they always remind me. I'm like, oh, the universe is still here.
Yeah.
We're unfrosting.
Yes.
Like, warming up, getting it all back. So I just love listening to like the morning doves whatever's going on outside.
I know. It's like the earth is finally waking up after like winter, even though I feel like it's likely that we'll get snow in March randomly.
Right.
You know, in between 70 degree days or something.
You can't
weird.
Count it out. It's like six seasons in a day. Yeah. Richmond.
That's the East Coast, like Virginia. I mean, I've lived here all my life and it's always been that way. Like I remember having like some white Christmases and then some like 80 degree Christmases. It's
That's
just
nuts.
You never know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, birds.
But birds.
Are birds even real?
That's a question for another podcast.
Awesome. Did you have anything else for this week?
No, I think that's it. Okay. No roasts, just undies.
Well, we love that. So we can go ahead and get into our beat or bear segment then. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So number one is business school. This is an all-encompassing kind of plot point, you know. Michael Scott School of Business, Ryan being in business school.
Okay. Yeah, because there's a few different types of business school.
Mm-hmm.
you know, I'm all for education, but business school gets a bear for me.
Ooh.
I do like the School of Hard Knocks real world experience.
Okay.
So that's my answer.
I wasn't expecting that, but okay. Number two is Michael's 10 rules of business.
Bear. We don't even know what they are.
We don't even get the full 10.
We get like 3 and 4, and then we get like 6 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I again, the effort is there. But in this case, we needed 10. We needed like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
But he's going to get it to you tomorrow. Or at lunch.
He needs to think about it.
Number three is Kevin's Desert Island movies.
He doesn't mention mermaids, as you pointed out.
Or stripes, which he tried to expense in the last episode.
That would have been funny if he said it.
I know.
Kevin's Desert Island movies are like Cannonball Run 1 and 2.
Uh-huh.
And like Groundhog Day.
Weekend at Bernie's 1 and 2.
Weekend at Bernie's. Okay. Okay. That one gets a beat because that is so Kevin.
It is.
It is the most random, like, goofy collection of movies.
Yes. And he's, like, cracking up as he's saying it, which I think adds to it. It's, like, the best scene ever. I know. Okay. Number four, cheese pita for lunch, a.k.a. the source of the fire.
Bear.
Okay. For the cheese pita or the fact that it caused a fire?
I guess both. A cheese pita? Is that, like, a Hot Pocket?
I was thinking, like, yeah, like... maybe like naan or something with cheese inside it, you know, that sort of like a actual pita that you would get at like Cava or something.
Mm.
But just cheese there.
That's it. And that was his whole lunch. Temp. I mean, we know you're living on a budget.
It was his lunch and now it's just ash.
And now it's not his lunch. Yeah.
Okay. Lastly, we have Katie's favorite movie, which is Legally Blonde. We'll cover that, but yes, it's Legally Blonde. Peter Bear. Beat.
Katie and Legally Blonde. How can you... You can't think of a better... Especially because they kind of make fun of Legally Blonde earlier as like a ditzy girly movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's so perfect for Katie.
That is true.
It does
fit her.
Doesn't say too much about her, right? Yeah. It says just enough. She's got the like cheerleader thing going.
Mm-hmm.
I love that for Katie.
Okay. All right, a beat for Katie's movie. Love it. So now we can go ahead and dive a little deeper and do the episode recap.
So this episode opens with Katie calling the office.
Mm-hmm.
So Katie, the hot purse girl from episode 6 in season 1?
Yep.
Episode 6, mm-hmm. Yeah. Her and Jim were kind of flirty at the end. And in the beginning of this episode, it opens with Katie calling Pam, the receptionist.
She calls reception and Pam transfers her to Jim.
Who is very excited to get her call.
Yes, yes. And then Pam begrudgingly says, you can just give her your extension.
Pam does a lot of talk to Katie. And Pam has a talking head where she's like, bleh. Right? Yeah. She's all like frazzled.
Yes. So. And I just have to touch on this. An irk that I have about that talking head. She's like, I feel like I'm talking really loud. Mm-hmm. Am I talking really loud? I'm like, oh my God. Just, I don't know, something about it.
She's so uncomfortable when asked about Jim.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it shows.
Yeah. So that's the cold open. And then we go to Michael's office. He's mm-hmm. in there, blind shut, door shut,
mm-hmm.
with him and Ryan, the temp.
Yep. The temp agency is requesting an evaluation of Ryan's performance, his experience at Dunder Mifflin. So Michael is completing this evaluation.
Or trying to. There's a lot of words on there. He has a really hard time pronouncing and understanding.
Integration.
Not applicable.
Not applicable. So he's running through these things. It's like work ethic. Social integrate. No, it's not. Integration. Michael calls it integration or something like that. So it's all these like different things, like a survey, essentially evaluating Ryan. And eventually business school comes up.
Well,
business.
Ryan's aspirations.
Right.
And he said, I want to work in business.
Mm-hmm. And in the next 3 to 5 years, you know, I want to own my own business. And Michael's like, oh, you know, he like perks up. And of course, he wants to put his 2 cents into. So Michael Scott considers himself to be a mentor.
Yes.
Similar to Yoda or Fozzie Bear.
Depending on who you ask. He tries to do an impression, but doesn't work out.
Yeah. And then Michael mentions to Ryan that he has 10 rules of business.
Mm-hmm. The first one is you have to play to win, and you have to win to play.
And reach for the stars. But if you fail, see rule 4. Rule 4 is failure is not an option.
Very interesting,
yeah.
Rules of business from Michael Scott, who considers himself a guru.
Right. And while Ryan is in the office with Michael, Dwight is kind of displaying some jealous behavior about this.
Don't you feel a little bad? Because cool new temp. And Dwight's like, I haven't been evaluated by Michael in years.
In years. He's feeling left out.
He is.
Especially since, you know, he feels like him and Michael are like Batman and Robin, you know? Or like the Lone Ranger and Tonto. It's not the Lone Ranger, Tonto, and Bonto.
And Bonto? No.
So he's feeling left out and kind of butthurt that Ryan is getting this attention from Michael.
Ryan's like, I take this attention away.
Like, I don't want it. So Dwight, it cuts to Dwight in the break room with Ryan after Ryan's evaluation. And he's kind of like, I don't know, I guess trying to relate to him. And he's like, you know, I have some like shirts that don't fit me anymore. I could bring them by. And he's like, do you like Guns N' Roses? I'll make you a tape. And Ryan's like, I don't have a tape player. So yeah. I don't know. I don't really know what Dwight was trying to do with that.
I think
that.
You're right. He was trying to relate to him.
Yeah.
Right. Or learn what Michael thinks this guy is special. And what's trying so special
to,
about him.
Right. Right.
But there's a significant age and, I don't know, social like, difference.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. And Dwight also explains him and Michael's relationship as being like an umbilical cord.
Wait, I almost requested that we do this as the opening quote, and I thought it would be too much. So can you say this quote?
Yeah, so it goes like this. Michael and I have a very special connection, much like an umbilical cord. I don't want Ryan to trip on it or get it caught around his neck.
My goodness.
So it's kind of like he's trying to save Ryan from getting caught in the crossfires of this bromance, or the bromance that Dwight thinks they have.
He's so deluded on all ends.
Oh my gosh. So the next thing we see, and it's kind of a brief scene. I never really noticed it until I rewatched for this podcast episode, but it does show Ryan putting his little pita into the toaster oven.
I think that's an extended.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. That makes sense. So we see Ryan doing that after Dwight accosts him in the break room. And then next thing you know, like a few minutes later, the fire alarm goes off.
It's very alarming for some people. For others, it's just another day.
Right. For Dwight, this is his chance to step up and be the volunteer sheriff's deputy that he is.
Safety officer.
Exactly.
Yeah. Angela as well. She's shouting instructions. She's saying, arms at your sides. Single file. Find your buddy. Everyone else is like, this is not an emergency.
Right.
Somebody pulled the fire alarm.
Yeah, and they've had like fire drills before. They think it might be just a drill. Like you said, the fire alarm has gone off accidentally before. So it's like, they're not taking it too seriously. And I guess they probably don't really like smell or see the smoke just yet as well.
Right.
So they're like, eh.
So everyone nonchalantly files out of the office, but Dwight has to stay behind. He picks up the water cooler and tries to throw it in the kitchen.
It's like, ah, ah.
He like breaks the glass and gets the fire extinguisher, but doesn't use it. And Kelly's like running out of HR and he grabs her. He's saying, stay below the smoke line.
Your pantyhose will melt into your skin.
Your stockings will melt into your flesh. Oh my gosh. And he's like army crawling
with the fire extinguisher, army crawling on the carpet.
So he really gets to demonstrate his skills there. We also learned that Michael sprinted out of the building first from a random like elevator camera.
Very quickly. Yeah. It's like a CCTV security camera in the building and it's like in black and white and he's just like sprinting. His like little coattails are like flapping in the wind behind him. Yeah, he was the first out of the building. So, let's just say that. The boss of the office was first.
Do you need me to read the opening quote again?
Because he's the captain of the ship, a.k.a. the parking lot.
The ship is the parking lot. So we had to get there. Right. Oh, my God. So once they start gathering outside, mm-hmm. the fire trucks are pulling up, mm-hmm. right? Everyone's kind of like, what are we doing? They're just standing around outside.
Right.
We see Dwight counting off numbers.
Mm-hmm.
He wants everyone to have a number so that we can keep track.
Right.
And Michael's number one.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Of course. And he says Ryan needs a number for the count off. And so Ryan says 2.
And Dwight's like, no, I want to be number 2.
Can't be number 2 to Michael's number one.
Right.
So Ryan's like, oh, okay, the 3.
And then Michael's like, we could be the 3 Musketeers. And like, Ryan's like, oh God, I don't want to be sucked into this.
Well, and that's his talking head next. Ryan's like, I do not want to be a guy here.
Mm-hmm.
Like
he I don't want to have a thing.
Angela has cats. Stanley yeah. has crossword puzzles. Yeah. I do not want to have a thing.
Right.
As Michael and Dwight are like dragging him like towards them.
Oh, yes. So we then see pretty much everyone in the office gathering in a circle in the parking lot. Ryan and Michael go off into Ryan's car to talk about business and business school.
They have to continue their important conversation,
you know, and cover the 10 rules of business. So while they're talking, the rest of the office gathers in a circle in the parking lot. And of course, Jim, we just covered the Office Olympics, the game host over here. He wants to play Would You Rather, Desert Island, and Who Would You Do?
Very appropriate word games.
Right. So they start off with Desert Island, and they kind of go around talking about what books and movies they would bring with them to a desert island.
Well, it started as books. But then
turned into movies.
Jim said, I really thought people read more. Okay, we'll do movies. Can I tell you some of the books?
Yeah, let's hear it.
So Angela's books were The Bible, A Purpose-Driven Life,
mm-hmm.
and third book was no. She wasn't giving us a third book. Phyllis was The Da Vinci Code, which Angela says she will. She's like, I would take that just to burn it. So that's fun. And Dwight would bring a hollowed out physician's desk reference with beet seeds, iodine tablets, medical supplies. And if he gets bored, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Wait, no. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
One of them.
Well, he like goes back and forth between them.
Yes. Yes. Which I would agree with that. The Harry Potter books are pretty good. And I guess, you know, the hollowed out book with the supplies is a good move too, but it's Dwight, so this is to be expected. So once they get through the books and he's realizing not a lot of people have books they would want to bring, they get to some movies. We get around to Kevin.
Kevin.
Kevin would bring Cannonball 1 and Cannonball 2, Groundhog Day, Weekend at Bernie's.
Classic. What about Meredith?
Meredith would bring Legends of the Fall, Legally Blonde, and My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Which also, Legally Blonde, I'm surprised to hear from Meredith.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
That's more of a Katie movie.
Right.
Maybe it's just an easy one to answer for this sort of game.
That's true.
Because it doesn't really reveal too much psychologically about what's wrong with you.
Right. That's very
it's
true.
It's just an excellent movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Pam, I actually, even though Pam has not been my favorite, I love her movie picks.
I know why.
Edward Scissorhands, first of all, yes. I love Johnny Depp. Great movie. Fargo, haven't seen it, but Princess Bride, Breakfast Club. Those are all great movies.
They're like, good choices.
Yeah. So she had some good choices, and then Dwight said The Crow.
Of course. He's not really playing, though.
Does he even have a TV?
I think he might have to, like, wind, like, churn up the butter, and it charges his TV.
Oh, my gosh. So those are the movie picks. The next game is what?
Who Would You Do?
Which is totally appropriate.
For work.
So,
yeah.
Do you want to let us know who would do who?
Kevin asks if present company is excluded. And Jim's response is, not necessarily.
Oh, God.
So Kevin,
wrong answer.
Wrong answer, Jim. So Kevin immediately says, Pam. And Oscar says, Pam.
Even Oscar.
So that's awkward. Michael wanders up to the group. He's been off with Ryan, as we'll talk about in a second. Mm-hmm. And he says, what are we doing? And they said, oh, we're playing Who Would You Do? And Michael said, I play this at home when I'm falling asleep.
Oh, God.
And Michael says he would do Ryan because Ryan's going to have his own business one day. God. Super awkward. Again, wait, I'm still getting into it. Just wait. Roy wanders up from hanging out with the warehouse guys to stand next to Pam, his fiance, and all her coworkers. Mm-hmm. And when asked who he would do, he says, oh, I got it. What's the name of that tight ass Christian chick? The blonde one? And Angela peeks around the corner and says, my name's Angela.
He's like, oh, hi, Angela. Nice to meet you or whatever. And it's just like, ugh. And Pam is there next to him. Everyone in the office is there.
Why is this normalized? That's her fiance saying he would have sex with another coworker of hers in front of said coworker and fiance.
Not only that, but also Toby from HR. Why did Toby even let them play Who Would You Do?
Yeah. This is a little nuts.
Oh, and so, then Jim. Yes. Jim says he would do Kevin just to kind of like, I guess, you know, lighten the mood a little bit.
After Roy said he would screw someone who wasn't his fiance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And last but not least, the group breaks up for a little, right? This is filming throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And there are just some ladies talking in the corner. So it's Meredith and Phyllis and Pam.
Right.
And Meredith and Phyllis say, come on, like, who would you do, guys? Like, really? Yeah. And they're like, Jim, definitely Jim, right? Oh, Pam, God. definitely Jim. And Pam's like, Oscar's kind of cute.
Ooh, oh, my Toby. God. Please.
So
please.
She's just, like, forcing it to name other people. And they're like, my favorite part, is there anyone else? And they're like, And Kevin's standing behind them in frame, and he's like, poor Kevin just wants to be included.
Poor Kevin. Come on. He can fit a bunch of M&Ms in his mouth.
I know. He got a gold medal. Medals for that. Gold medals. This is happening with the games, take me back to Ryan and Michael were kind of doing their own thing. And Dwight, right, at some point in this episode. Yep. Tell me what they were discussing.
Yes. Yeah, so they're in the back of Ryan's car. Ryan has a bunch of books, like, on the back kind of, like, dashboard of his car, and Michael notices these books, and he's like, oh, these are business textbooks, and Ryan's like, yeah, I think he said he, like, does night classes or something.
Business school at night, yeah. Yeah,
he's actually, like, pretty smart and knows a lot about business, like, he's, you know, pretty
sharp.
Yeah, kid. And they start talking about that, and then Michael has a talking head where it's like, you know, you don't need to go to business school to know business. A lot of people didn't go to college. LeBron James, Tracy McGrath, or whatever the name is. Yeah. McGrady, and Kobe Bryant. They went straight to the NBA from high school. And he was like, so it's not the same at all.
I like that one because it gives him a second to check himself. He usually doesn't. He's like, so that's actually not applicable.
Not applicable. Not applicable. Michael is kind of feeling, I think, a little, I don't know, less than. Because Ryan is, you know, applying himself, going to school. He has goals. And he's actually pretty freaking smart. And he's a temp.
Michael is more of the who moved my cheese type of manager. And he does say to the cameras, he's like, when I was Ryan's age, I worked in a fast food restaurant. He also, like, sold cutlery. He also lost all his money in a pyramid scheme.
Which sounds very much like Michael.
Right. But he's trying to say he has real world experience.
Right.
Ryan has education as opposed to real world experience somehow. Mm-hmm. But I think you're absolutely right. There's a little bit of less than feeling. Yeah. He didn't go to college, as Dwight points out. And Ryan's testing Michael. Right. Michael's like, no, ask me questions.
Right.
So Ryan's like, is it cheaper to get a new customer or wait, what is it? Is it?
I think it's like get a new customer or like have repeat business, basically, like maintain a customer relationship.
Oh, is it cheaper to sign a new customer or retain an existing one?
Right.
And Dwight's like, retain an existing one. And Michael says, shut it. Would you just let me do it? And he's like,
but Michael doesn't have the answer.
He goes to Ryan. He's like, they're equal. And Ryan's like, no, it's like 10 times cheaper to keep an existing customer.
Right, exactly.
But there is definitely a little bit of maybe feeling bad for Michael Scott in this situation, only because he seems to feel like he's missing out.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And while Michael and Ryan are kind of like bonding over this.
In maybe, Michael's eyes.
Yeah. And maybe from Dwight's eyes. Dwight is sulking in his little red car, blasting Everybody Hurts. Like really, really loud. Like everyone in the circle who are playing the games, they like look over and they're like, what is going on? Because this music is blasting.
He's feeling left out.
And he's super emo, like just like laying back in his seat, just like looking Everybody off into nothing. Hurts. Yes. And he's just so emo and it's wonderful. And I think who approaches him? Jim
and Pam.
Jim and Pam approach him and like check on him and they're like, hey, buddy, what's going on? Like, you okay?
That's when Dwight says, I hope the war goes on forever and Ryan gets drafted.
Oh my God. Oh, that's so good.
But it's kind of cute that even though Jim and Pam are making fun of him, right? They're like giggling to each other as they're comforting him. He's like, thanks, guys. I just need to be alone.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of the three of them a little
too. It is really sweet because even though they play pranks on him, like, you know, they do end up building a really strong friendship and relationship with him, like, throughout the seasons. And they really do actually care about him, like, as a person, you know? So it is really, really sweet to see.
Yeah, I love that. That's the Jim Pam Dwight triangle.
So once we're through with the games, we're through with Michael and Ryan bonding in the car. Dwight is done sulking in his car. There is a point where Michael realizes he doesn't have his cell phone on him, or he thinks that he doesn't have his cell phone on him. And of course, Dwight is like, I volunteer your tribute. I'll go into the flames and retrieve your cell phone.
And he books it back into the office.
which is supposedly still burning down.
I was going to say, Angela's like, wait, the firefighters said no one can go in there.
And turns out, so, okay, Michael tries to have Ryan call the cell phone so that Dwight can find it easily.
Yeah, well, it should be easy because Michael put his number in Ryan's phone in the car.
However, Ryan did not save it.
Right.
So
that hurts.
Yeah. So he gives Ryan his number again, and Ryan calls the cell phone, and the cell phone turns out to be in Michael's pocket, and it is ringing, and it is playing Mambo Number 5.
Naturally.
That's the ringtone.
Yeah. So then they're like, oh, crap, we got to tell someone. Dwight just ran into that building.
Oh, God.
And Michael's pretty worried.
Right.
And then Dwight comes running out. And what happens, Savannah?
He's so pleased with himself. He didn't find Michael's cell phone, but he did find the source of the fire. He's got it in between some tongs.
What
in his
it?
Bandaged hand. We don't know why his hand is bandaged. It is a burnt to a crisp cheesy pita.
Ryan started the fire!
And Ryan is now crowned the fire guy. So Ryan, his worst fear came true.
He is a guy.
He's a guy.
And he's the fire guy. Yep, so Ryan Howard started the fire. He's like apologizing to Dwight.
Mm-hmm.
Dwight is singing his rendition of this song.
Yep.
And Ryan's talking head is just him holding his head in his hands. And he's like, I can't believe I started the fire.
Yeah, because not only now are you a guy and you have a thing, but you like potentially harmed like a lot of people.
Everyone in the office building is just standing outside for hours during the day.
Yes. Yes. So a lot of work is getting missed, obviously. It's a hassle to have to go stand outside and, like, worry about your shit burning office.
If I started a fire at work, I would be so fucking embarrassed.
I would,
and
too.
Then if someone was like, oh, look, she was making a cheese
Rachel
pita.
Started the fire!
No, my worst nightmare. And Michael feels so validated and, like, smart. because he's like, this guy went to business school, but they didn't
start it on fire.
They didn't teach you how to operate a toaster oven.
Oh my God. So that's pretty funny, actually. I got to give it to Michael.
It's actually very fair. And I love that Michael gets a little validated at the end of the episode.
Same, same. Mm-hmm. So the parking lot scene kind of wraps up with Katie, Jim's girlfriend at the time, pulling up in her little PT Cruiser to pick Jim up for lunch.
What an adorable car.
So, of course, Jim tries to include her in the games they're playing at the time. The game is kind of over, but he wants to get her answers to the desert island game. Oh, man.
And Katie, first thing out of her mouth, Legally Blonde.
First and foremost, Legally Blonde.
We already covered Legally Blonde. Jim and Pam had a talking head where Pam added Legally Blonde. And Jim said, Pam, that was unacceptable. These are the movies you will be watching for the rest of your life.
Right.
It's not like, oh, I like that movie.
Right.
It is like your heart and soul movie. Yes. So we already discussed how Legally Blonde is a silly movie to pick in this game. And Katie comes in. And she says, and Legally Blonde.
Pam is like cracking up and Jim is like, I feel like somewhat sheepish and embarrassed by it because he was just making fun of it. So,
and then Pam's talking head is about, oh, they're so cute. Katie's so nice. And you know, like her mouth saying things, but her brain's thinking the opposite. Mm-hmm. So the last scene, as Savannah said, is, you know, Jim and Katie getting into her car to go to lunch. We look out the window at Pam and Rory making out suddenly in the middle of the parking lot.
Even though he just said he would fuck Angela. So I'm confused about that, but whatever.
But I love how they do all the, like, it's not passive aggressive, but like that sort of tone of stuff between Pam and Jim.
Yes. Like, which is really funny, though, because she's literally engaged to Roy. So it's like, you can't really use your fiance as a pawn to make your side piece jealous.
Oh my gosh.
You have a fiance.
But you can.
Apparently you can.
But there's just so many dynamics there when they add Katie, and I love how awkward it is.
Me too.
I mean, it's frustrating, but I love how awkward it is. So if you're in this for the first time, just embrace it. Just, you know,
let it ride.
Let it all go. Yep.
Let it ride. Yep. So that kind of wraps up the meat of the episode.
Let's get into some trivia.
Let's do that. All right, so we're going to get into some trivia for season 2, episode 4, The Fire.
Tell me something I don't know.
Oh, okay. Don't test me. Okay, Michael says, much advice you seek in a Yoda voice, which Ryan mistakes for Fozzie Bear. Both characters are voiced by Frank Oz, both Yoda and Fozzie Bear.
So that's funny.
It's funny because I can see how he maybe would have mistaken it. However, Yoda specifically phrases things a certain way, though.
Wait, also when I was saying tell me something I don't know, I meant like it was like a joke because it was like trivia. Like, tell me something I don't know.
I know.
Oh. I thought you thought I was just being sassy and I got nervous.
No.
You were like, okay. Okay, you got it. We're on the same page.
Same page.
Sorry. All of a sudden I was like, oh my God, did you think I was being so mean? Like, okay.
No. All right, Rachel, what do you got?
So the firefighters in this episode are apparently real firefighters from Los Angeles.
Really?
Because they were filming out there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the uniform is similar to the Scranton Fire Department.
Uniform? Oh.
So the costumes department did some good work there.
Nice. Okay. So when Dwight tries to save Kelly from the fire, his shirt is wet, but then in the next camera shot, his shirt is dry. So there's
continuity.
Kind of an inconsistency there. Yeah.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah, because he spills all the water from the cooler all over himself.
Yeah, when he's trying to put out the fire with the water
with
cooler.
With the water cooler, yeah. So this episode is one of them written by BJ Novak.
Nice.
Who plays Ryan.
Not only does he take night classes at business school, he also writes dank episodes of The Office.
Dank.
Okay, so when Michael is running out of the burning building, pushing and shoving everyone out of the way, it's somewhat an ode to a Seinfeld episode that's also titled The Fire, in which George Costanza pushes and shoves everyone out of his path when he hears a fire has started.
Oh, that's great.
I love Seinfeld.
So I also heard that this episode was supposed to be the first one.
Oh.
In the season two.
Okay.
But it got shuffled around a little. So it ended up a little bit later because if you think about it, the season one ended with Jim and Katie.
Right.
And so then this would continue their storyline directly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. I like where it ended up, though. I like giving it some time to marinate more Pam and Jim. Right.
Right. Exactly. So Jim appears to be friends with one of the firefighters, in the parking lot scene. It was John Krasinski's idea to contrast Dwight's excitement at seeing the firefighters with Jim's actual friendship with one of them.
Oh,
yeah.
So he was like on their level. That's right. Really interesting. Mm-hmm.
All right. So I have a couple more for you. So during the Who Would You Do game, Oscar joins in with the other guys, immediately saying Pam's name.
Mm-hmm.
This actually contradicts Oscar's character in later season, not only because he is gay, but also because he is too sensitive to say something that would offend others in such a way. Mm. Alternatively, this scene could also be explained by the fact that Oscar was still in the closet at this time and trying to fit in with the other guys at the office as well.
That was my impression of it. But that's interesting because that does kind of go against his character. Like, he's snarky, but he's not. He wouldn't say something like that about a coworker.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Like, that's crossing a line.
Exactly. Another one, this one's about Dwight. So when playing Desert Island, Dwight asks the question, did my shoes come off in the plane crash? Which is, he's assuming that, he's on a desert island as a result of a plane crash. And this also kind of alludes to the fact that he probably would sneak objects in his shoes past airport security.
Ooh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That's a good great one. Piece of trivia.
All right. Do you have any more?
Do you have any more?
Do you have any more?
So it's not quite a piece of trivia, but it's something that I noticed in this episode and I'm going to talk about because I have a platform to do so.
Let's hear it.
So Toby is there in this episode in the circle.
Right.
And I know that because he has a conversation with Jim, and Jim explains that him and Toby used to sit together, but Michael moved Jim because he thought they talked too much.
Interesting.
Weird little piece of information there, but Michael and Toby, as we've learned, developing this rivalry, Jim kind of cool guy in Michael's eyes, right?
Right.
And also, why would Jim and Toby used to sit together?
Right, if Jim is sales and Toby is HR. Unless, I wonder, maybe Toby had a stint in sales? Or maybe the HR department was closer to sales, maybe?
Yeah, or the office only had that front part. Maybe they didn't buy, like, the annex. I don't know. So, again, I don't have an answer, but I have a question about Toby and Jim, and it's just, it creates a new look at the dynamic about Michael too, and his control of his office. And
And also, like, I think there's a little part of Michael that has like the same kind of possessive quality over Jim that Dwight has over Michael, you know, like wanting to be his friend so badly and wanting to be cool.
Well, Michael has that with Ryan too in this episode.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's a good point.
Exactly.
They're just all, they are not free from attachments, we shall say.
That is true. That is true. Man, Michael just wants to be the cool guy.
He does. He does. All right. So let's get into our coal walks and wrap up the episode.
All right. Let's get to it. All right, so we are getting the coals ready for the coal walk. Okay.
I want you to go first.
Okay.
Tell me your coal walk.
I will tell you. Okay, so I have like 1.5 coal walks today. First, is Jim always wants to play fucking games. Okay. I have watched this show many, many times over, many, many times through. And for some reason, now that you and I are like rewatching and kind of like analyzing it a little more, I am noticing that Jim anytime there's like ever any downtime mm-hmm. or Michael is gone or he's just bored, he always has to be doing something that is like a game or a trick or a prank. And I'm like, why can't you just exist?
Oh, he's in his monkey mind. We're going to start getting into Buddhism like here.
His lizard brain. Yes. Like. So, yeah, they're just standing around for a fire drill. And I'm thinking back, like, I've had fire drills and stuff in corporate offices that I've worked in. And it's right. just like everyone hangs out. You get to talk to people that are in different departments, maybe.
But in school, even.
Yeah, in school. We're not playing fucking games out here, though. Like, Jim, like, as soon as they were out there for, like, maybe a couple minutes, he was like, all right, we're playing games. And he came out with three games.
He organized it.
Yes. And, like, for me, I'm not a huge, like, group activity, group game organized person. Sports, yeah. So like, that would really annoy me. I probably would be Angela in that scenario.
Would you even play, or would you be like sitting, enjoying nature?
I probably would be like, I'm just going to watch. I'm going to sit this one out, guys. Just because it's like, why do we have to do this? We're out here for a reason. Like, why can't we just talk, have like natural conversation, right. talk to the people we want to talk to. I don't want to talk to people in fucking accounting. I don't want to talk to people. Like, I just want to talk to my own people. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. It's like, I understand. The, like,
first day of class icebreaker type shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not for me.
Okay. So Jim, yeah. You hate to see a Jim coming.
Yes. Yes, okay. I do. Because why can't you just stay over there and just be bored?
That's a great coal walk. I'm about that.
Yes. So my other little tiny coal walk is that Pam kisses Roy when Katie picks Jim up. Mm. And this is right, I kind of touched on it before, but this is right after Roy says he would fuck Angela. Rather than his fiance. That's an easy answer.
We can't let this one go. This one is too harsh.
Like, after everything we have talked about and everything we have been through with Roy and Pam and Jim and that just, like, weird love triangle, like, huh? Like, I'm so confused. And she's obviously doing it to make Jim feel some sort of way because she feels some sort of way about Katie and Katie picking him up. And
do you think Jim instigates that one at all? Or do you think it is just...
I do think that it is double-sided. Like, I think Jim... I think it is kind of like a little game that they, like, maybe unintentionally play. Mm-hmm, like, definitely. It's like, he's obviously disgruntled and, like, I don't know.
Hurt
that yeah. she is, you know, in a relationship that is seemingly permanent because she's going to be getting married. Although it's been, like, I don't know, what, 3 years or whatever?
Savannah just checked her watch.
So, I think maybe he feels a little hopeless. And maybe a little spiteful deep down. I think he really cares about Pam, but I also think, like you said, he's hurt. So
maybe he's instigating it a little.
Hurt people.
And she's great point. And Pam is, like you said, playing a little game. And yeah. I think it's similar on her end where she had these like deep down feelings. She's frustrated with mm-hmm. her fiance. He's rude sometimes.
She probably feels stuck, too, because mm-hmm. she's been engaged for 3 years.
Right.
But she really likes this other guy, but she's engaged. But it's like, I don't know. And they flirt all day long.
She can't make a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or refuses to acknowledge that there is a choice.
Yeah.
She's just stuck. And that's what right. it is. And she's engaged to Roy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a good co-op, though. Because yeah. there are, even though there are times where watching this show gets frustrating with mm-hmm. the dynamic, it's heavy. I mean, everyone, yeah. I think most people, not everyone, can probably relate to being or witnessing a situation like this.
Yeah, definitely. So, definitely. Very, like, relatable, very yeah, real.
Yeah, yeah,
for sure.
So
that is my coal walk, and I'm kind of heated about it.
Beautiful. I'm glad you went first, because my coal walk is way less deep than that.
Okay, well, let's hear it, though.
My coal walk is... Dwight's hand is bandaged when he runs out of the building and he's holding the burnt cheese pita.
Right.
Why is his hand bandaged? Did he open a door? Like a hot door?
Maybe.
Did he grab the actual fucking on fire cheesy pita out of the toaster oven with all the firefighters around? Like, I'm like, how did he, one, get up there, two, take a vital source of information in this crime back downstairs, and then three
in this crime,
and then three, a like perfectly wrapped bandage around his hand. So some medical person, I mean,
I was going to say also who wrapped it.
Does he have, it's like an actual bandage, right? I don't think it's like a makeshift one.
No, for sure. I mean,
so who did that? Who did that?
It does kind of seem like something that Dwight would like keep in his desk, you know, like medical supplies, but like.
But he stopped. He was looking for Michael's cell phone, which was not up there, as we now know. He stopped to bandage his hand. Like, I don't.
And for what?
I don't understand. Firefighters around, no one was like, dude, get out of here.
Right.
So that's Michael Walk is like, where did the bandage hand come from?
This mysterious ass bandage.
Did Dwight just put it on to make Michael feel bad for him?
That was my thought.
Ooh.
Because obviously he's been pining for Michael's attention this whole episode because Michael has been
obsessed with Ryan
on a date with Ryan this whole episode.
He's like, so what school do you go to?
Oh, you like business? Yeah. I like business too.
Oh my gosh, do you want to be a manager like me?
So I think Dwight maybe was like looking for some sympathy. It's like kind of giving Munchausen's syndrome, if you will. Burned my hand because he comes down and he's like, as I was up there among the flames.
Yeah. He's like some smart, sexy temp. Didn't know how to use the toaster settings.
Yes. So I think he maybe, you know, put the bandage on for some extra flair.
I'll take that as an answer. Yeah. Thank you. As an option.
He was prepping for his role as burn victim.
Jack Cousteau. Okay. All right, Savannah, Dundee for this episode. What is it?
Yes, so mine is going to be best song adaptation for Ryan Started the Fire. If no one has listened to the original or the remade version of that song, I highly recommend that you do. I think maybe Panic at the Disco redid it and they did like a modern version.
Oh,
so
really?
Now it has like, you know, it talks about Michael Jackson dying and like more like current things that have happened recently.
So Billy Joel wrote that song. I think it came out in like the 89 or something, like right at the end of the 80s. Uh-huh. Okay. So, that's interesting.
And so it like that song, like from the 80s kind of encapsulates what was going on at that time. And then I think it was Panic at the Disco, Brandon Urie.
Yeah. Well, love him. So
yeah, he's great. He remade it or rewrote it, whatever. It has more current stuff in it and it's a really good song. But I also love Dwight's version, so that's why he's getting the best song adaptation, Dundee.
That's great.
And he recites it beautifully, like in his talking head, he's like,
I thought you were gonna do it.
No, I'm not that good.
Yeah, but, he does pretty well.
He's fantastic with it and the timing was impeccable. Like, you couldn't have picked a better song.
No.
For the fire guy. So. No.
The fire guy.
The fire guy.
So what's my your Dundee for this episode is for Michael's ringtone.
Okay.
Mambo number 5. It's so perfect. It's like this 40-year-old man who really wants to be cool, right? And doesn't know what's cool. And his ringtone is a Mambo number 5.
Is that the one with all the women's names in it? You know what I mean? It's like a little bit of Jessica in my life, a little bit of
right?
A little bit of Tina by my side.
Yeah. Sandra and Rita. Yeah. I was like, the woman's names, and then I was like, wait, it does have a lot of that.
That's so funny.
Bit of Monica in my life.
And it also kind of maybe he's like alluding that he's like a player by having that as his ringtone.
I don't even know. I just think that is the funniest like ringtone for Michael Scott to have. Yeah. It's like children's music too, though. It's not just like, you know,
because it's also like the, I don't know, like the flip phone, like rinky dink version of the song. It's like, it's like, it doesn't have the words. It's just like, you know, the tune of it. It was kind of funny.
It's so old school. Yeah.
Yes.
So that's my Dundee, the Mambo number 5 Dundee.
I love that. Both musical Dundees.
Oh.
Amazing.
Beautiful.
Well, I think that wraps up everything for this episode. Was there anything else you wanted to touch on before we close out?
Nope.
Okay, perfect. Well, if anyone wants to write in your reviews, questions, comments, If you want to sign up for a guest star spot, we've still got some openings. Let us know. We do have access to a 4-person studio that we would be recording the guest episodes in. We currently are recording in my house, so we will not be doing that for a guest. But
you guys don't have to sit with Gerald.
Yeah, you guys don't have to. Pet my cats and stuff. But so yeah, let us know. We would love to have y'all. And yeah, what she said pod.dm on Instagram and at Gmail. So I think we'll catch you next time for season 2, episode 5.
Can't wait.
That's what she said.